You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ray Parker. I played Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace and Solo, A Star Wars Story, and G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, and you're listening to Disney Universe Podcast.
We would be honored if you would join us.
To infinity and beyond!
I'm very popular, y'all!
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Disney Universe Podcast. This is your fun-loving Disney adult podcast brought to you by your fellow fun-loving Disney adults. I am one of your hosts, Joey, and of course, I'm joined by my two awesome hosts, Ryan and Alex. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. 150. That came fast.
Yeah, totally. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like, we're on 80 something. Now we're at 150. So we're almost, holding strong. So
almost caught up to JRE. Just kidding. We'll never have that many episodes.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, Alex? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of this team at the Disney Universe. 150 episodes deep. Let's do 150 more, man. We'll bowl a perfect game.
Yeah, exactly.
Is currently what my average is, about 150.
Yeah. Not bad. Yeah, I haven't bowled in a long time. Shout out to Jungle Cruiser, our big bowler here. But I tend to bowl decline as I go down. I guess I don't
know. Mine's the other way. The more the beers and the more my arm gets loose, it gets better. It's kind of first game's warm up. Second one, you know, it's there. Third is the peak. And it always declines if there is ever after a third game.
No, absolutely.
I need the bumpers on the side.
Shout out Splitsville as well. I haven't bowled there yet, but on my last visit, we had an awesome little, I wouldn't even call it a brunch. We were watching the Niner game outside on their little kind of garden bar area patio that's first come, first serve service. So if you're ever at downtown Disney looking for a place to grub and everywhere has got like a wait, Splitsville has this big kind of open astroturfed area with picnic seats. That's adjacent to their bar area, and that is all open seating, first come, first serve. So all right. I did see Splitsville as well as downtown Disney had a lot of awesome food offerings as part of Food and Wine Festival this year. I don't know that we'll be touching on all of those, but just so you know, Food and Wine, it goes deeper than just California Adventure and the parks.
Yeah, and it's always cool to start the show on a little side tangent, but one thing I did notice during Lunar New Year, in the past, it's always been focused around DCA. They really did expand towards downtown Disney as well, too, with their menus and celebrations. So, you know, bring it on, because like sometimes we're not all in the parks at the same time, but we're hanging out at downtown Disney waiting for that park day or, you know, to go day. But we get a little extra of the events. But yeah, as Alex said, we got some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about upcoming Star Wars night, some the opening of Bad Batch. We're going to really dive into Food and Wine as we're doing something slightly different. We're going to kind of go over our top five in almost like a draft style. But when all said and done, it'll basically turn into the DU's recommendations for Food and Wine, since we're all three going to be there at separate times. So, you know, we'll be giving you guys some really cool and very up-to-date Food and Wine content as it comes up. So we'll get to that later. We just got some mousekeeping first. But before that, I'd like to welcome any new listeners to the show. Welcome. Like I said, we are a Disney adult podcast, but we're a bunch of grown-up children here. So, but we love what we talk about. We love what we do. And we love sharing and bantering with all of you. So Yeah, before we get to that, like I said, we got some mousekeeping, and I know it's not our love and Valentine schedule, but we would love to talk about and shout out some very special people, which I got to say, John was very happy to get the shout out he did from Alex via Slow Jams DJ there, but hey. Which got a lot of great compliments, and I hope you guys like that music I attached to it. But anyways, who would we like to thank? Our very special people. Alex, it's all you.
Well, I'm going to avoid a bad hybrid at a Black History Month and St. Patrick's Day accent for the voices today. Although being that I am Black and Irish, it does apply. But as always, we're shouting out the DU crew. It's our favorite people in the entire Disney universe, and that is the crew that makes up our Patreon group. You can join them over at patreon.com/DU crew. And those fabulous, fabulous people are Florida Jen and Superfan Jen. You can't have one. You got to have two. We love our Jens, as well as Alfredo, Big Papa Disney, Sean, John Z, Wedge Antilles, Sasquatch, and Tyler. You guys are amazing. We thank you so much for being a part of the crew. You get some awesome perks for joining, aside from just me shouting you out here on every one of our episodes. So go over to patreon.com/DU crew. Check out those two tiers available to join the crew, and come join us so I can shout out you too.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. And I forgot to mention one of our other topics as we wind down a celebration of Black History Month. We're going to do just a little highlight on a recent inventor, Hall of Famer, Lainey Smoot, Disney, should be Disney legend, probably will be this year, but Alex will touch on that as we end. But of course, like I said, I want to welcome all our new listeners and new friends to the show, and you can find us all over the socials and podcast networks, and Ryan will let you know where that is.
Yes, if you would like to watch some of our videos that we've made, Joey's put out some food reviews. You can do those on YouTube, right, Joey? Lunar New Year, and then some of our Ahsoka Tano review, well, all of our Ahsoka Tano reviews, and we can go back and watch some of our Mando stuff. You can head over to YouTube, and we are under the DUTV. And if you'd like to interact with us on X, we are under Diz Unipod. And if you would like to interact with us on Facebook and Instagram, Instagram is where we are most active. Just look up the Disney Universe Podcast, and you can listen to all of our shows under the Walt's Apartment Podcast umbrella at Apple, Spotify, podcast, wherever you listen, we're there.
Absolutely. And I've been kind of slacking on posting videos, because videos I've shot for DU haven't come out as good as I've hoped. I did shoot Roll to Color 1 on my last trip, and there's just too many cell phones in front of me, but I don't know. We'll see. It was a really cool show. It was the first time I saw it, so I was glad to see it. So that might go up soon, but actually, it'll probably be up even before the show is out, but we just did a recording at a local game shop for the release of Lorcana. We brought back our good friend Rebecca, the Lorcana Luminary, and basically she's going to be on the show quarterly as new information on every new chapter comes out. So I did a little bit of gameplay, and some of that's in there. So I checked that out on our DUTV. And
open and enchanted. Enchanted.
Yes, I did my first enchanted. It was Robin Hood, and it was awesome. So. Very cool.
For those that don't know, Enchanteds are the more rare card pulls. They are an alternate art that is like a hollow or a prismatic card. And, you know, they can be worth a little bit more in value. Nice bit of collector's item, especially when you pull a character that you're so fond of, like Joe did. I'm a little jealous of that. I've got a couple Enchanteds myself that I'm happy with. But, yeah, those are always fun for any of us who've ever opened any sort of card packs in our youth or adulthood. The thrill of the chase is what it's all about.
Yeah. Kind of going back to a kid pulling that Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, you know, out of the fresh package. And I just dated myself. So I do that a lot, but
wait, is this the Kingdom one?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a Mariner snow globe. He showed us.
Thought it was topical.
Oh, is that when it was imploded and Is that
the yeah? Spot? I think that's where he played. I think I don't know if he started at Safeco. He
did play at the Kingdom. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I highly doubt the snow globe is of the implosion.
But. No, I have one of Safeco and one of the Kingdom. So nice. I'm just packing so all my junks out here.
Well, right on. But cool. Well, thank you guys for that awesome mouse keeping. But let's get to the show. So we're going to start off. Tickets went on sale, and I believe they're all sold out now for Star Wars Night happening this April. I got the dates here. Maybe not. Oh, yeah, there I do. We got April 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, 30th. Then again in May from the 2nd, 7th, and 9th. So, and I actually got tickets. Courtney got us tickets. We're going to be going with Skywalking and some other friends. So, as you guys know, we did the Sweethearts Night. So this is my first Star Wars night. So I'm excited. And it's also going to be happening during the opening of Seasons of the Force. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think, have you guys haven't been to any of these After Dark events, have you? Or
just Oogie Boogie Bash.
Okay.
I've done a handful of them. I did Christmas. I've done.
That's right.
I did another one that I didn't. There's another one. I'm not. Arrow and I aren't the biggest fans of these After Dark nights just because they're heavily towards like getting your picture taken. We find like with all the display, like backdrops and characters. And we're not. Like we don't like our picture being taken. So every time we leave, we feel like a little underwhelmed, but we do it to ourselves every time. But Halloween one I love because I get chocolate. Hell yeah, Alex.
Chug.
Y'all missed Alex just murdered a beer. but yeah, no, it's not for us. So it's, but I love seeing people have fun on the videos and stuff. They look cool.
Yeah, you definitely are not a picture taker because every time I'm trying to find a picture to share with you, I can never find one, so I always have the pirate hook one.
Yeah.
The son of darkness, the son of no photos.
Yeah, so what's going on here is, let's see, the special admission ticket, enjoy Star Wars character sightings, event-themed menu selections, exciting entertainment, including a lightsaber instructional, and the Fans of the Force costume cavalcade, which is pretty cool because this is an actual Star Wars parade / cavalcade that the fans who are going to be there are able to participate in. So anytime you could be part of a Star Wars / Disney parade is, I think, pretty cool. A celebration that invites guests dressed in Star Wars costumes to join and march down Main Street, USA, plus discover special Star Wars themed photo opportunities, merchandise, and more. So we'll get all the more stuff here soon. But like we mentioned, this also takes place during the return of the Seasons of the Force, which hasn't happened since, I believe, 2015, maybe happened in 2016, too. I do not remember.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, but sounds like they're going to incorporate both Tomorrowland and Galaxy's Edge, plus throughout the park, too, Main Street, the Hub, Fantasyland. So
they haven't said, but I would presume Hyperspace Mountain makes its return.
It is supposed to come back, yes. And rumored, I believe when we first announced that we were getting the updated Star Tours, they did say, from what I remember, they said spring 2024. I believe I even heard April, which would put it right in time with this. And little side note, also, I believe April 26th and 27th is Star Wars Night at the Angels. So that they're doing back-to-back Star Wars Nights in with this Seasons of the Force. So that's very awesome. What are you guys looking forward to? I'll just go from Seasons of the Force. I'll start with Alex.
I mean, being that we don't really know what's to come of that, Hyperspace Mountain, always cool. I'm excited, being that it's been a while since they've done Season of the Force, to see what could be expanded. In talking to you guys the last couple of times, I said it would be really cool if they debuted those new Star Tour scenes during Season of the Force, albeit if it's exclusive to the Star Wars nights or what, as I'm sure that would bring a much needed draw to that side of Disneyland for Star Tours, you know, with everything being down on the west side of the park right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm always down for Darth by Chocolate. And at the end of the day, I do take a big interest in seeing what is put behind a paywall, what is going to be different during the day versus available exclusively to Star Wars Night ticket holders. And luckily for all you guys listening, you're going to get every angle of that from us here, as we're all going to be there during Season of the Force. Joe's going to be there for Star Wars Night. And of course, you'll get that full Star Wars month coverage from the Disney Universe podcast that you have known to love over on our YouTube channel. So
absolutely.
I'm sure you'll get a lot of parks content in with that too.
Absolutely. What about you, Ryan? What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, you already know. It's food. I'm sure they'll have some special food for Season of the Force, like alone. And then I'm sure you'll get extra at night. I really hope we get Darth by Chocolate. And they had a burger that I missed out on. I don't remember when, but it was a Vader burger and the buns were black.
Wasn't it like a Mustafar burger or something?
Maybe something like that. I want that so bad. There
was a Mustafarian lava cake as well.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that was, yeah.
The burger, it's just like the one from Burger King that makes your poo black.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that.
Right on.
That poo black silence right there. You know? Nothing awkward about a good poo black silence in the middle of the pod. Exactly. There's nothing silent about my black poo either. Sorry, it's just going down the toilet.
Oh, man. I got to have my soundboard back up.
I'm sure the only difference will be food and photo ops and characters. I'm sure everything else will be the same. You might get like maybe like Darth Vader walking down Main Street or something. But that's just what I think. But yeah, the food. I hope we get some food options. That's really it. That's all I want from Season of the Force.
Sorry, when you said seeing Vader down Main Street, I saw this reel today, and it was Vader showing up, a cosplayer Vader showing up at a school, and high fiving all the kids, and the kids are so excited. And the caption on like the meme of it was, apparently none of these kids saw episode 6 or episode 3.
Yeah.
So, but we did mention Star Tours is supposed to be updated. They did announce that the only thing they have announced was Ahsoka is going to be incorporated. So we're all kind of guessing, I don't say predicting, but even hoping that it's even not just Ahsoka, but maybe multiple characters from the Mandoverse. And I think I'd also, before we kind of ask him a good idea, like what you know, scenes would we like to see? Before we get to that, I would like to see them also get rid of the 3D. We've all been on Cosmic Rewind, and we've all been on Guardians, Mission Breakout. They can have 3D effects without 3D glasses now, in my opinion. So I think they can make it look very clear. But what would you guys like to see in the new Star Tours? I'll start with Ryan this time.
One scene I think would be pretty cool is that, like, I'm pretty sure it's the final battle from Boba Fett when Boba Fett, Mando, Cad Bane,
the Rancor.
Yeah, the Rancor. Boba on the Rancor. Like, I think that'd be a really cool scene to fly around in. I was thinking Obi-Wan and Vader fight from the Obi-Wan scene, but I don't think there's enough going on for the ride.
That's Mos Eisley, right?
No, they're on another planet.
In Boba Fett?
Oh no, he's an Obi-Wan and Vader.
I jumped. I would want to see Vader and Obi-Wan fight. That I think that'd be cool, but I don't think there's enough going on. So yeah, I think that Boba Fett final scene would be cool.
Yeah, because that could be cool. Like the speeder gets shot down briefly, so it's street level.
Yeah,
until R2 fixes it, or you know,
maybe the Rancor starts charging at the star speeder, and then R2 fixes it.
I like you see Boba Fett.
Or Grogu steps in front to stop it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that would be so good. They could totally do that too.
That would work. And call me Imagineering.
And he'd look right at the speeder and just like, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad, dude. What about you, Alex?
Maybe he sends a churro from somebody in the speeder or whatever.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before we started recording, but it's got to be the space whales, man. Hitting light speed with the Purgil. Flying to Peridia, or I don't care anywhere space whales are flying to. I think that would be rad. And just trying to think of other kind of aeronautical scenes from the Mandoverse. There were a lot of really cool dogfights in that season 3 of Mandalorian in his new N1 Starfighter. So maybe getting something where you're, what was that? The opening episode with him and Bo-Katan, where they, or was that the second episode where they were fighting around her castle?
Yeah, that was the second one. I was actually going to say, I had two, because of course I can't have just one, but the first one was the pirate fight over Navarro, the dog fight that you mentioned. That was a
good one, too, with Vayne.
Yeah, and the ship and everything. But then,
Shard.
Yeah.
Dorian Shard's face coming in on the little screen in the Star Speeder.
Yeah, Space Broccoli.
Garbage Pail Shard.
Yeah, but then also the Battle of Mandalore. Then you see all the Mandalorians on jetpacks and kind of like flying around. Cool, and,
you're talking the original Battle of Mandalore, like
no. Well, we see at the end of the season 3.
Yes, like yeah, flying over Mandalore would be a good one.
Like
too.
Flying through there and even getting like into the water, where you kind of see the Mythosaur go away. Then you kind of fly out. You fly crash out down into the battle. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
So that'd be cool. But yeah, hopefully we get some of that. And oh man, yeah, they've got to do the Purgles. That would be so awesome.
That would be such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what would be a really funny one? I don't think it would be good, but the Princess Leia chase scene from Obi-Wan. Oh. That brutal chase scene. Just a slow ride going with behind Leia.
The one with Flea?
Getting chased by Flea, yeah.
On the planet?
Yeah.
they're on foot. That would be
hard. I just thought it would be funny.
Nice. Well, hopefully we get some of those. I'm sure we will, because there were some pretty iconic scenes recently between Mando and Ahsoka.
And I actually like how in Star Tours they don't worry about the timeline, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's great to have a place where they can say, hey, let's check out all these different awesome, you know, galaxies, planets, characters, and let's throw them in a magic eight ball or roll the dice and just see what comes up. You know, I think that's a lot of fun. It's as we've seen, obviously they tried to initially avoid with Galaxy's Edge and now have kind of succumbed to. So we'll see if they continue to trend in that direction or otherwise.
A cool little start to the ride. Like, you know how you usually like in a, I don't know what the word is, but there's a bunch of ships around you, like
some spaceport.
Yeah. If you see Luke's ship land, him get out and just like destroy a bunch of those
dark troopers,
and then your C-3PO is like, "Hey, we got to get out of here," and you like back up and take off. That'd be a cool little start.
That would be.
How about Mandalorian season 2, the one with the prison escape?
Yeah,
where he flies away from the place, but he sets the beacon, so the Rangers come in, the Rangers of the New Republic come in and blow up where those other two guys are. Can't remember their names, but
yeah, the dude from Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. That'd be a good one too.
One thing that I hope they do that they've only done at Disneyland, I think once or twice, but being that it's Seasons of the Force, you want to see a lot of quick character stuff. They got to do like Rey and Kylo Ren battles on the bridges and the scaffolding that are around Batuu.
That would be cool.
I think you could do blasters with like stormtroopers and little sparks effects and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, they're doing it over in Avengers Campus with the choreographed fight scenes. There's no reason why they can't do it in Galaxy's Edge. And, you know, we've seen in the Avengers Campus, it's become a nice little draw to just either be passing through or actually plan a time to stop and watch those little things. Even at one point was holiday themed with the Tracksuit Mafia from Hawkeye too.
Yeah. But they have all the, like they built that, all those ramps and everything for that. And I think they've only done it a few times, maybe even more at Disney World's Galaxy's Edge where they're fighting and stuff. So hopefully we get more of that during the Seasons of the Force.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, but yeah, you guys pay attention. Be sure to subscribe and check out our socials and pay attention to those when we go, because there will be a lot of content, Star Wars content coming up over the next couple months. And stick with Star Tours. We have been watching, at least me and Alex, I watched the first 3 episodes of The Bad Batch. This is the third and final season. This is a show Alex enjoys this a lot more than I do, but I do like where it's going, and especially in the third episode, the first three episodes here. It's been a week. We can kind of get some spoilery stuff if you'd like, but what are your thoughts so far on the first three episodes or even what you think of the show as a whole, too, kind of leading into the first three?
Well, as far as the show as a whole, I think it's fun. It's weird because while it is kind of a spiritual successor to the Clone Wars and kind of takes place just after the Clone Wars, we do even have a arc with Clone Force 99, which is the Bad Batch introduced in the end of the Clone Wars series. But to me, it has more of a Rebel sort of feel. And obviously the animation is newer, so it's going to be kind of closer to that as well. To me, the thing that makes it, and I think, Joe, you've kind of turned me into a little bit of a score nut.
Oh, no.
Nerd, I don't know what you want to call it, but Kiner Music, Kevin Kiner and his family, they kill it. And shout out to Screen Crush and Ryan Airy and his weekly breakdowns of each episode. But it was with last season, in season two, he kind of made note of the different choices they were making with the music and how they kind of even embrace different genres and styles of music to go with each different episode. And so this season I've been a lot more, just kind of more in tune with it and noticing, and even found myself just kind of closing my eyes and feeling the music at points. I guess to me, it just is much higher class than animated score should be. It's worthy of live action, Star Wars. I hope that they do get the opportunity to score some live action Star Wars. It almost feels like Kiner Music, speaking to the family as a whole, is almost the spiritual successor to John Williams in the way that Filoni and Favreau are kind of trying or taking the reins from what George Lucas started for us. I don't know if there's a gap in between of other people who were in there giving us Star Wars stories, but from a audio musical standpoint, they set the tone, and not even set the tone, but they raise the bar a little bit higher for whatever you're watching. So for people like Ryan, who just can't get into animation the same way, I think it kind of raises it to a bit of a higher level. So that's been, you know, the biggest thing I noticed more so this season than in previous seasons. But then, you know, just kind of, I don't know if we want to still call it the retcon of somehow Palpatine returned, that they've been continuously doing every step of the way since that happened. But, you know, we got the nod to Project Necromancer, and obviously they've been working on, you know, the whole cloning situation. There's a lot of tie-ins to things we've seen in live action and otherwise. And, you know, again, shouting out to Screen Crush, potential lineages to characters we'll see in live action in the future. So I'm excited to see where the season goes. Obviously, knowing it is the final season, I feel that not only will we get closure with these characters, but more connections to the universe that's already built out ahead of it. Star Wars Rebels, and of course the sequel trilogy.
Well done, sir. I don't think I could top what you just said. So I'll just say so far on a show, I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the show. It's just the reason why it kind of lacks to me, and I'm starting with a negative and going with a positive. But the reason why it kind of lacks to me is because when they were first introduced in season 7 of the Clone Wars, they were the badass, you know, Clone Force 99. And so once the season started, I felt like they kind of watered them down and dumbed them down a little bit. But there's still some really good storylines, and the animation has been top notch. The music, like you said, Kiner and Kiner Music has been top notch, and he's been doing it since Clone Wars. So he's just upping his game and the family's game. His son and daughter.
Did he do Clone Wars and Rebels?
Yeah. Yeah, and so,
Kiner and Filoni are kind of like a package deal.
Exactly. And
did you do any of the live action stuff?
No, not yet.
No, that's that was, what's his name? Ludwig
is Göransson. Kind of
all over that. Yeah.
And but this season so far, especially the ties with the Empire and the Emperor, and is just this is where I thought last season was going to go. So it looks like it's really going to focus, and so it has been a solid start to the season. And being that they actually have something to fight for, I don't think that a Hunter and Wrecker are very watered down like they've been in the past. But it's just a real good season so far. It's like I said, it's only 3 episodes in. We're getting 15 episodes, so yeah, it's a solid start. And I know, and like I said, I'm not a huge fan, but this is people love this show and all right too. So I'm loving that everybody's glad that there's more Star Wars back again. So
that's right, everybody. Address all Joey's Bad Batch hate at JPity. I one of our group chats, when he said that he didn't really like it or wasn't as big a fan, I was like, what? Because Joe's always about anything Star Wars. But I neglected to recognize that not being as big a fan doesn't mean that you don't like it. It just means
exactly it's not your favorite.
And exactly. To what you were saying about them being badasses before, I almost kind of forgot that until episode 3, when we see Crosshair using his abilities, getting them out of there. So yeah, they're still badasses. And, you know, I think since the beginning, I was kind of hoping for the Crosshair redemption arc. He had some great episodes at the end of season 2.
Yeah. And those were the best episodes, in my opinion, of last season, were the Crosshair specific episodes. And I'm just, the thing I'm sad about is I hope D. Bradley Baker is not out of work after this show, because he voices so many damn clones that, but at least he's still Eagly in a Peacemaker when that comes back for season 2.
I didn't check to see. And I guess we'd have to pull it up, or somebody can get on the comments about us. But episode 2 of this new season, we got Hunter and Wrecker encounter. They followed a lead to where the experiment, the labs may be, where they are holding both Crosshair and Omega, and encounter some clone teens. And I said when I was watching with Addy, I was like, I bet you that's Daniel Logan doing the voice.
It was.
I knew it. I knew it.
Which bummed me out. Not bummed me out, because I'm a big fan of Daniel Logan. He's such a big nerd and fan of Star Wars as it is and loves what he's doing. But this episode came out on Wednesday, and he was at a local Stockton Con on Saturday. So the fact to be able to see him so close after episode would have been pretty awesome. No, I was at a special tiki party.
That's right. Down in SoCalCon. Well, that's awesome for him, though. Like, right on. I know I believe he was included in that kind of Jeremy Bullock tribute sort of about the character of Boba Fett that came out before Book of Boba Fett, talking about the three guys who have portrayed Boba Fett through the years. And so it's cool to kind of see him, because his situation is really unique, as he played the young character in live action, got to voice him a little bit in animated, and then almost kind of aged out of it. But because obviously the clones are all the same voice, having him show up in this was cool, because while I'm sure D. Bradley Baker could have done it, his voice fits much better for the younger aged clone. I think that's awesome for him, and it must have been really cool being at a con after actively recently being in a property.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so far so good. I'm sure maybe at some time Ryan might tap in, but I would tap into some of the other shows first. But
we'll see. Maybe we'll do like a video telethon where like you guys can all send in donations and we can watch Ryan watch the entire series of Bad Batch leading up to the finale. Tell me, you know, we'll just get the
I'm down.
I'll do my best Leslie Knope telethon impression. It'll be great.
Nice. Well, let us know too in this comments what you guys think about Bad Batch.
beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can bear. Come on and lift your glass. You've won your own free pass to be our guest.
If you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
All right, now, so we are going to be talking about something that we love. You know, we love our food, and Food and Wine is just around the corner, and we didn't want to torture Ryan by reading a list of back-to-back shows like he did
last. Or you guys. We didn't want to torture you guys either.
Exactly.
I apologize. I don't speak good English.
These are easier to pronounce, but one thing I will say is the food at Lunar New Year was fire. It was so good. I look forward to going back again, but that's in the past. We're in the present. Food and Wine, we're going to do something slightly different than we did. Alex, what are we doing with this year's Food and Wine list off, I guess?
Well, you guys know me and we here at the DU love a good draft. We look forward to our Parks fantasy draft in the fall to go along with fantasy football draft season. And being that we are celebrating Disney Universe episode 150, I thought it would be kind of cool to kind of each of us pick five items from the Food and Wine menus this year that we're excited to try. So obviously, us here, day of recording, is before Food and Wine opens. So we can't say these are must-tries, as none of us have tried them yet, unless they happen to be items from previous years, as some of them are. But they are items that we are excited to try. So we're going to do it in a draft sort of format where we will go in order. As I just mentioned to us, I believe off recording, in order of which we will be experiencing Food and Wine Festival this year. Joe will be hitting it up first on opening weekend, because of Adventureland Day. Ryan will be going at the beginning of April. And then Joe and I will be back that final weekend of Food and Wine. So we should have good opportunity to be able to try most of, if not all of these items, of which you can look forward to seeing from us on our Instagram account. So again, make sure that you're following us over there. So we will start with Joe. We'll go to Ryan and then myself. We're going to go just kind of in order. Like I said, I hope and expect there to be some overlap here, which is why we all kind of highlighted more than five things. At the end, you are going to have the DU top 15 most sought after or most desired items from Food and Wine. And we will share this as our own little cool infographic on Instagram, so you guys can use it as a reference when you're out there hitting the Food and Wine Festival booths and deciding where you want to use that last chip of the Sip and Savor Pass. Don't worry about it. Disney Universe got you.
We got you. So, disclaimer, yes, I will be at the park first, but I will not be food and whining until I'm there with Alex, but that's okay.
You're always food and whining at Disneyland.
Well, yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? You're not going to go in DCA when you're over there?
Not during Adventureland Day.
Not at all?
Not during that day.
Do you only stay in Adventureland that day?
There's so much going on. I mean, I could probably do it at night, but there's so much going on, and evenings usually end off in Trader Sam's, but it'll be crowded out there. So we'll play it by ear, but I'm not planning anything outside Adventureland Day right now. So we're playing it everything by ear on that.
Tap, tap, tap. Commissioners coming to the microphone with these new developments coming at hand. The draft order will now be changed. We will start with Ryan, then go to Joey and myself.
Well, I still got the power.
Like he won't be there until the same time as me either, as he will have Adventureland Day and Star Wars Night before he gets to his food and whining.
Well, I still got the power of the button. So... Even though we're not on YouTube right now.
They can't see.
It doesn't.
Nothing has changed. Except that Ryan.
Oh, the power of the mute button.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. I was like, you can mute me. You can unmute me too.
Okay.
Well, I don't care. Y'all can pick whenever the hell you want. I got my list of 10. I'm ready to ride.
I got my list. Okay. Go ahead, Rod. We'll go fair. Go.
Okay. We're going to start off with the barbecue pulled pork mac and cheese with crispy dill pickle onions from Nuts About Cheese.
Thank you. I'm glad you added in the booths you can find them in. I wrote those all down as well. That is an awesome choice. It didn't make my list of 10, but it is something I was looking at. I think there are three mac and cheesy type things, yeah. And that was the only one I didn't have on my list. But I'm excited to check. Anytime you say mac and cheese at Disneyland, I'm about that.
Yeah, with some pulled pork?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Crisp pickle onion. I'm not sure what that's all about. I'm interested. Yeah. I'll put it in my mouth, but
that's what she said.
We'll see. But it's part of the DU most desired, most excited for. We'll figure out a good name for this list before we put it in print.
You want to hear something funny? That was my number one. Hey. You just drafted McCaffrey under me.
That's okay though. The overlap is good.
It's okay. My players know the rules of overtime.
Oh,
sorry, sorry. I had to do it. You lobbed that up.
Okay, now Ryan's muted. So whose turn is it now?
That's you, man. You're going to be there twice before me. Whether or not you choose to food and wine about it is up to you.
So I'm going to try something. This is out of my element. I'm not a big bowel person, but I got to find out where it's at. Oh, here it goes. California Craft Brews, and this is the cheeseburger bow.
That looks good. That was on my list.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty delicious to me. And
that is on my list as well. So in the words of Ordinary Adventures, this gets a Disney Universe star. It was on all three of our lists.
Nice, right on.
And I was excited for this as it reminded me of the cheeseburger pods at Satuli Canteen in Disney World.
Which I never got to try, so very cool.
Even a little bit fancier.
And I don't have the official list. I got the Grozzi list. Does this have any?
So that's the cheeseburger bow with Thousand Island grilled onions and a pickle and tomato relish. It can be found at the California Craft Brews booth, which I know Joe and I will be spending some time at. There's a huge list of brews. I omitted alcoholic beverages from my list, and especially beer. You may even go check us out over on Fresh Hops Podcast because I'll definitely be mentioning some of that when we're down there.
Yeah, we could do a quick little brew list at the very end of this.
You'll see it on Instagram. But yeah, we leave the brews in here. I'm excited. Like California Craft Brews had enough West Coast IPAs, West Coast IPAs, that they're going to have a West Coast IPA flight.
Exactly. Ah! Ryan's like, huh?
So I'm making note of the fact that this is on all three of our lists as well.
Hey, Ryan, you're muted, and I didn't do it.
You definitely did it. You muted me. You didn't unmute me.
I haven't even had you. Hey, whatever.
Okay, that's okay. I was saying I would really appreciate it if next year they had a chalky milk flight for us toddlers.
They do a Chuck E. Cheese down the street, but
Goofy's Kitchen.
You know, there no chalky milk, but I mean, we can get kind of close. I'm gonna go ahead and pick something since Ryan wants to list his love of chalky milk. This is not a alcoholic beverage, but a beverage featured at the Golden Dreams booth, and this is the blueberry pancake cold brew featuring Joffrey's Mexican roast coffee, maple syrup, brown butter syrup, and demerara syrup with blueberry sweet cream, oat milk, and cinnamon crumble cereal or crumbled cinnamon cereal on top. I've mentioned before how I've become a big fan of the seasonal cold brews at Disneyland. I think that's kind of the next thing from all our different seasonal churros we find around the parks. I've had some great ones, and I think this one's going to be up there with the great ones, and I'm definitely stoked to try that out.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Where was that?
What booth?
That is at the Golden Dreams booth.
Golden Dreams. I'm looking for a picture.
I don't think there's going to be a picture because it's just a cold brew coffee, but you know.
It sounds delicious. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, that's going to be a tasty one. I always like to get a cold brew.
Oh, yeah, there is a picture.
There's a picture of it?
Yeah.
Nice. Returning to the park after that afternoon break, nice cold brew, pick me up, get you going. And generally, you're going to find a much shorter line for these cold brews than Starbucks. Also, generally mobile orderable, although I know the festival carts are not. But in the other places around the park where you can find these seasonal cold brews, you can usually mobile order them.
I'd much rather have Joffrey's coffee than Starbucks anyways. Yes. Just saying. All right.
Anyone else have that on their list?
I do now, but
no cheating. Just no, my just list. But we'll go back to Ryan.
Okay. Well, I think these would go well. Maybe they. We'll see. They might go well with a beer, but from
you muted yourself again.
Muted again.
I'm not touching it, man. It's all you.
It's muting and unmuting.
It might be a...
Okay. Well, did you hear my pick?
No.
Oh, okay. So from Cluckadoodle Doo, the cheese pizza flavored wings.
Cluckadoodle Moo.
Moo. Oh, Moo.
Oh, I almost had that, but I didn't. Dang it. That did look good, though.
Cluckadoodle Moo. You're right.
Cluckadoodle Moo. Yeah. Now, I noticed this is a booth that has been around a couple years. And as I was saying when I was going through the list, it always seems to feature something beef related and something chicken related, which is not a change this year. Those do sound interesting. And it's funny because something on my list I think sounds really interesting. I'm excited about, but also sounds like it could be kind of gross. That's how I felt about these. I say they sound interesting. I'm interested about them, but I do think they could potentially be very bad as well.
I think it will just be wings with like a cheddar seasoning and like a Italian seasoning. I don't think it's going to be anything too crazy. Like, I don't think there'll be like cheese on it.
It sounds good though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have those on your list, Joe?
I almost, but I didn't.
That's okay. What do you have on your list, Joe?
I do have, you're going to see a kind of a theming on the rest of my stuff that I'm ordering. But I got the shrimp Papas Locos, which I do not have a picture of. Let me see where that is at.
Peppers Caliente.
Yes. I'm not sure. Is there a picture of it on there?
Yeah.
But there is. Yeah. It's the I don't know if you got the description right there, but
go ahead.
I don't have it on my list, but I remember it was like, I believe a cheese flavored potatoes.
Cheddar bacon potatoes with jalapeno cheese sauce and chipotle shrimp.
There okay. you go.
See, like I said, I'm reading out of the Gothic Rosie list, which just has what it is, not really a description. But you had me a shrimp and you had me a papas. And I figured locas was going to be good. So sounded crazy. Sounds delicious at what you guys described. Yeah, it's definitely on my list now.
Just a heads up to everyone. That booth is spicy.
Yeah, I could tell. But I mean, it's got to be Peppers Caliente.
I had their shrimp last Food and Wine. It was like a different version. And the like the empanada, I couldn't finish it. It was too spicy for me.
But, good to know.
Yeah. But if you can handle spice, go for it. Like, it tastes good. It hurts.
Yeah. So this might be something that I won't be sharing with Courtney because she cannot handle spice.
Don't let her try.
Oh, so I'm not.
Spicy. No. It's so spicy.
But this sounds delicious. So yeah, I will definitely be trying this one. Anybody else have that?
What's that? I did not have that. Now, I'm not a seafood lover, although it does sound really good. And who knows if that's something Addie's interested in trying, you may see me jumping outside of my comfort zone to check this one out.
Yeah, at least get out of the shrimp and get the bacon-covered potatoes.
Yeah, no, I will not kick those out of bed, that's for sure. Well, I got, you know, the one I had mentioned that I think sounds really interesting but could be gross. I'm going to save that because I don't think you guys have it on your list. And I'm going to go with one that I think both of you have on your list. This is a returning favorite from previous food and wine festivals, from the Garlic Kissed booth. And this is the grilled top sirloin with roasted garlic, Gruyere smashed potatoes, and a garlic chimichurri, a black garlic chimichurri sauce.
That was my next pick.
I will be using two festival chips on that to get a nicer portion, and maybe even having it each day. I'm pretty sure. I know this was sidebar from a music festival I went to in Vegas. There's a restaurant called BBD's, Beers, Burgers, and Desserts. And they had what was basically like a Big Mac, but cooked like a White Castle burger with the steam and the onions. Wow. And they were at Life is Beautiful Music Festival. I went and had that burger each day of the festival. It was so damn good. And I have yet to go seek it out on return trips to Vegas. God knows the way menus change. They probably don't have it anymore. But if they do, and if you are in Vegas at Beers, Burgers, and Desserts, Burgers, Beers, and Desserts, I don't know which. I love all three things. You can call it desserts, beers, and burgers for all I care. If you happen by that restaurant, check that burger out because it was amazing. Anyway, back to Food and Wine Festival.
I remember you talking about that. That sounded amazing.
Yes. Grilled top sirloin with the garlic Gruyere smashed potatoes and black garlic chimichurri. It's coming from the Garlic Kiss booth. This is a returning favorite. I know they mentioned at the beginning of the foodie guide that they had over 80 new items this year. This is not one of them. And it did seem most of the stuff was new. I don't know if there were slight changes to some things because a lot of things did seem familiar. But I don't believe I got to try this one in the past. And I'm going headfirst into it here this year.
I did not have that on my list, but that sounds delicious. I kind of did my list really quick, so I didn't really get a look at it much. But
yeah, that's the beautiful thing of us putting this list together, because now we're going to leave here and we're all going to have a nice list of 15 things. So nobody's going to be worried about what to do with their extra chits at the end of the night, the extra little tabs. Disney Universe got you covered. But I'm going to mark that as Alex and Ryan both had that on the list. So far, we've only got one Disney Universe star with that cheeseburger bow.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of space to have more.
Yeah.
Ryan, what you got?
Okay, we're going to go with a dessert this time. So am I muted? I'm good. Okay. California Craft Brews. I'm going to go with the S'mores Caramel Tart. Graham cracker tart shell filled with caramel and chocolate ganache topped with a toasted marshmallow.
Dang.
I did not have this on my list, but again, knowing how many times I will be at that booth, I will probably end up getting it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not against it. It sounds great. I think that's just a matter of me trying to prioritize other things. As far as the list goes.
That sounds delicious. Yeah, not on my list, but again, yeah, like Alex said.
Yeah,
that's super awesome.
That might be my number one I'm looking forward to. I'm a big s'mores guy.
What booth was that again?
The California Craft Brews.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you got the cheeseburger bow, the s'mores tart, and like all the awesome beers under the sun. I mean, basically, I'm just buying a ticket to Disneyland to sit there all day.
Yeah. Highly recommend bringing your stretchy pants.
Maybe we'll get a Fresh Hops episode the day you and I are there, and we'll just get all the beer flights.
That works for me.
Hey.
I didn't have to twist his arm.
Beer flights and then soar over California.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, catch flights, not feelings, with the Disney Universe and Fresh Hops podcast.
So, my turn, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Back to you, my friend.
All righty. Well, I'm going back. Did I go back? I don't know. But I am going to the, the LA style booth and going with the carnita style pork belly with Esquetes corn mac salad. Featuring it looked like a tahini habanero sauce. And this is, I like that they throw this. It's a new to the menu. So it looks delicious to me. I don't know about you guys, but
that was on my list, sir.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, the picture makes it look very delightful. Yeah, just like a thick cut piece of pork belly. What kind of throws me off is the carnita style, because at least what I understood carnita style as was like a shredded pork. So I'm guessing it's the seasoning. It just looks like a piece of ribs without the bone, or like a giant piece of bacon with what could only be described as like spicy corn mac and cheese behind it. I know it's not, it's a corn mac salad. So yeah. I'm assuming it'll be cold. I love mac salad. I love corn. I love spice. I love pork meat. Done.
This looks like sweet and savory. Kind of looks like a spam musubi in a way, but yeah, I'm really excited for this. I'm actually surprised it's my number three pick. This could easily be number one or two.
So did you have this, Ryan, or no?
I don't like pork belly, so no.
Okay.
I don't like the texture. I'm a big texture guy.
Oh yeah, it's all about that fatty meat.
Mm. Yeah. Crunchy and fatty.
Melts in your mouth.
Slimy.
What about you?
Satisfying.
I believe it is back to me.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to continue to save my wild card. And I'm going to go with... I have quite a few things on here that are returning. So I'm going to go with one that I believe was new. And it will be new to me, as I am generally not an impossible sort of guy. This is coming from the Earth Eats stand, and it's the Impossible Chicken Parmesan Bites, served with tomato and cheese sauces, with Parmesan cheese shredded on top. It basically looks like chicken nuggets with marinara and cheese sauce and Parmesan cheese. Of course, it is from the Impossible Meat or Not Meat Company, whatever the hell they are called. I generally avoid these things. And I don't know, my only good reasoning why, as I always say, as someone who enjoys meat and doesn't really enjoy not meat, if you didn't tell me it wasn't meat, I'd probably enjoy it more than if you did tell me it wasn't. Same way, if you didn't tell me eggs were in it, or if you didn't tell me fish was in it, I might enjoy it more. And, you know, maybe it changed things. But at least seeing the picture, knowing my love for Chicky Parm, and being on vacation and wanting to try something different to share with all you guys here at Disney Universe, I made my list. I'm excited to check it out. And now we can say that the Disney Universe desired food and wine list at least is friendly to those who don't necessarily enjoy meat. So we'll throw the Impossible Chicky Parm in there. Anybody else?
No.
There was no meat in that, so I skipped it.
But I got a question before we start our next round. Is plant-based also mean not meat?
So, yes, I would think so. Although I was confused when I was reading it, because I was like, why would they say like steak bites if it's plant-based? I don't know if they're like, well, the cow eats plants and so it's plant-based in that way, but I'm assuming it just means they're using a meat substitute product that is not Impossible Brand. Impossible Brand obviously being signed on corporate-wise through Disney. So, yeah, if it says plant-based, I do not think there's meat in there. I did avoid a few of those, although some of them look good.
Okay, well, it looks like I have to reselect my next one, but go ahead, Ryan.
We don't have to pick from the booth, right?
As long as it was on the food and wine list. I have one that wasn't from a booth, and I mentioned Splitsville earlier because they had something I was looking forward to as well.
Okay, I am going to go with from Paradise Garden Grill. The loaded baked potato, seasoned steak tips, and barbecue baked beans topped with cheese sauce, tangy slaw, and green onions.
Plant-based.
I take it back.
No, take it back.
Okay, we're going to head over to the
steak, though, right? Doesn't it say steak?
I don't want it if it's not steak.
But does it say steak? What did you read?
Yeah, it says steak, but yours also says
steak, Disney. What are you trying to do? Telling us it's steak and then telling us it's plant-based. Make it make sense.
Yeah,
I don't need you out here like Taylor Swift sending mixed signals about our food, okay? I'm not trying to spend chits on things that are not meat-based, okay? All you vegetarians out there, send the ads to the Big Smooth 3-0s. Don't get into
food, okay, we're switching to the cappuccino cart real quick. I'm going to go with the chocolate espresso loaf.
Yay, chocolate that was on my list.
Cake filled with chocolate mousse and topped with dark chocolate ganache and chocolate and white chocolate curls. I only messed up one word, guys.
Shout out. Yeah, that was on my list as well. Cappuccino, that was the one thing I had that wasn't coming from a food booth. But cappuccino cart generally has a good cold brew as well. And for those who like the Joffrey's Coffee over Starbucks, you can get that there. Also, if you're one who's looking for a non-dairy milk, you know, like almond or oat, as Addie likes in her coffees, you can get that there as well. As you can with Starbucks, but otherwise around the park, it's generally just coffee. There's no non-dairy options.
Nice recovery.
That's bugging me.
Well, I was going to go with, is it my turn? I was going to go with the Baja style fish taco with cabbage slaw, cilantro, lime, and pico de gallo, but that is plant-based.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. I think, you know, at some point when we get there, we're going to have to get this potato and we're going to have to get this taco, or at least just ask a cast member to find out what the deal is.
Maybe Joey could do some recon before.
I will find out. Listeners, if you know, let us know too. So I am switching to the, this is at the Nuts About Cheese booth. Or whatever, the Mickey-shaped macaron made with Snickers bar pieces, chocolate Mickey-shaped macaron filled with caramel ganache and made with Snickers bar pieces, just like I said. That will definitely satisfy my sweet tooth. I wasn't planning for dessert, but it had me at Snickers.
Yes, that made my list.
Nice.
Ryan?
Not on my list. It's been there for like 3 years in a row, I think. So
that is a returning favorite, yes. That made my list. That sounds very good. And I'm excited to try it. I know Addie is a big fan of macarons. We've gotten a few of the different ones they've done at Disney over the different holidays, the alien macaron and the, I believe the Lunar New Year macaron they do at, not Market House. What's the one? Jolly Holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might have to be you're not yourself when you're hungry TikTok.
Definitely.
Grab a Snickers. Maybe standing in line for a plant-based item, and then you snap into the Snickers macaroon, and then we go into the pork belly.
And it'll be all like Big Bad Wolf, like, I'm going to huff. I'm going to puff. Here, you better have some of this. You're not yourself when you're hungry.
We'll get some plant-based item, and then we'll just like shower it with like pieces of steak or pork belly or something.
Here's some.
You're not yourself when you're hungry, plant-based item.
Impossible plant-based pork belly.
What? Nice. Is that on there?
No, I'm just messing with you. I wonder if my wife might know what the difference is between plant-based and... I'm going to mute myself and ask her because she knows things like that. One second.
We do have a food truck around here that does plant-based food. And they are, first I'll say, I will not say the name of the food truck. They are very good. I've had some of the items. But as I've mentioned before, I think it's just kind of mind over matter. If you don't tell me it's plant-based, I probably would enjoy it as if it is not plant-based. And then when I find, you know, it's kind of like, I can't believe it's not butter, but food. So maybe that's the case. My hunch is that it is just a plant-based item that does not have a sponsor that's willing to pay Disney to put their name on it. You know,
sounds fair enough. Yeah.
I have some info. Impossible.
Breaking news.
Impossible is a brand. Plant-based is an umbrella. She said it's like a bathtub and a jacuzzi.
Kind of like what Alex kind of might have.
I don't know. I didn't have the headphones on.
But. No, but yeah, I mean, I like bathtubs and jacuzzis.
It's like
it's like Kleenex and facial tissue.
Well, even like Boca Burgers back in the day, or
yeah, Kleenex. There was another non-meat thing that was pretty big for a while too. I forget what it was called, but
well, I was gonna say even like Kleenex is the brand, not a tissue.
It's like seeing Snickers on the menu because Snickers is Mars, and they've paid Disney to have their name featured on the menu. You know.
Yeah,
but they also don't call them tater tots; they call them potato barrels or something.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, we have potato barrels.
I don't think anyone owns the term tater tot, right?
I wouldn't think so,
unless Orida has got a trademark on that. Maybe I don't know, but I believe it's like Kleenex and facial tissue. Kleenex, we all call it Kleenex, but technically Kleenex is the brand. Whereas facial tissue is what you are blowing your nose.
It's like all Kleenex are tissues, but all tissues aren't Kleenex.
We're going to have to put on the header for this that there's a deep dive in the difference between plant-based and impossible.
Yes. Brought to you by Impossible.
That's confusing. But
maybe they'll come on the show and wow us with some stuff. Sidebar story. During COVID, when I lived in San Francisco, someone randomly, I don't think our building owner did it, but there was a delivery of groceries to our apartment and it was just sitting down in the lobby. And I remember, it was a small building with three units. I knocked on the other units. No one ordered it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to let this shit go to waste. And brought it in. There was a bunch of milk and eggs, all kinds of stuff. And it had like two packages of Impossible burger patties. And so at one point we chopped them up and used them in like a spaghetti bolognese and it was good. I enjoyed it. But again, I probably would have enjoyed it more if you didn't tell me it wasn't meat. I would have been like, this is some weird taste of meat, but this is good.
Impossible plant-based spaghetti.
Yeah. It's impossible. You know why? Cause it's not possible. It's not meat.
Anyways, I believe it is your turn, sir.
That's what they should have called it. They should call it a bit possibly meat.
Me?
If they called it possibly meat, you know, because then you're like, oh, well, maybe it's meat. They're not saying it's meat, so you can't sue them. Possibly. Possibly not. Possibly so. It's possible. Brought to you by Possible Meats here at Disneyverse.
Brought to you by Kevin Garnett. Everything is possible.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team. All right, let's see what I got that has not already been crossed. We got the macaron. We got the chocolate espresso loaf. See, I trusted you guys to pick things off my list, and you've done a good job.
Nice.
All right.
That's why we're all friends.
Picks. I got that off there, too. And I only got three things that haven't been picked here. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the one that I don't think either of you are going to pick in hopes that one of you will pick one of the other ones, and then I can pick the last one. So this one is coming from the Golden Dreams booth, same place where you'll find our blueberry pancake cold brew. This is the frozen old fashioned. This is the one I was saying I'm really intrigued by. I'm a big bourbon whiskey fan, old fashioned fan, but I do think this has the potential to be a clunker. This is a non-alcoholic bourbon flavored ice cream. On an ice cream bar form, it's got a bitters crema and orange zest glaze with cherry spheres, basically boba pearls on the outside. And if you are familiar with old fashions, that's pretty much the flavors from an old fashioned. You're going to have bourbon, a little orange zest, bitters, and a cherry. So I'm excited to try that. That was actually the first thing on my list. But as I said, I did not think either of you would have it. Am I right?
I had it, but I swapped it. They lost me at non-alcoholic.
Well, we could get a shot of whiskey and just dip it in there.
Yeah, but it does sound delicious because I love the flavor of an old fashioned by itself. So I would drink this, and I was looking at it until I found
drink it. It's an ice cream.
Oh, that's what I meant. Well, let it melt, it'll drink.
You will lick it.
I was surprised. Clarabelle's usually has a new sort of hard float that they've been doing, and they did not have one for Food and Wine. So maybe we'll just have to make a hard float with some sort of adult beverage and that in it. But
yeah,
I will definitely be trying that. So you guys will get the skinny on that and all these on the Disney Universe Instagram page.
Sweet, sweet. And it is the last choice for you, Ryan.
Yes. So this last one, I'm going back and forth. I think they killed it. There's four churros out, and I think they killed it on all of them. They all sound delicious. I'm going to go with the cannoli churro at the churro stand in Hollywoodland. It is a churro rolled in cinnamon sugar, topped with cannoli cream, chocolate chips, and puff pastries. So that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds like good. Look good in the picture as well. Something I noticed they've kind of, when they started doing these seasonal churros, they were just giving you the same full-length churro, trying to decorate them and have you hold it in a piece of paper, and it wouldn't hold up until they started cutting them in half, putting them in a little tray. And I think this is probably one of the ones that is best using that new format, as you see that cannoli cream piping kind of going right in between the two churro pieces. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a fun one to eat. I think you probably pick up both pieces and almost eat it just like a cannoli.
Yeah. So as you guys know, I love plain basic churros, but I would eat the hell out of this one because they had me at cannoli. So a cannoli and a churro put together sounds like a match made in heaven. So I would definitely try this. Not on my list, but I would definitely try this.
Alex, was it on your list?
It was not on my list. I didn't put any of the churros on there. I felt that was just kind of something I was going to do anyway. Also, I'm expecting Disneyland to introduce some new churros, as at least the ones they have now are only on the, you know, the schedule or the menu through the end of this month. So
I'm sure we'll get a blue and the lightsaber churros. I've never had one of those, so I'm hoping those are there.
They'll probably have them.
Well, I mean, there's that whole month of March where they don't really have anything planned for Disneyland. So maybe they'll just use that time to finish up what they had from, Lunar New Year and prior, before Season of the Force. Maybe they'll introduce some other stuff. I know they don't. They did. There's nothing from Disneyland included in the Food and Wine Foodie Guide. Just the parks, the hotel, being Grand Californian, and then Downtown Disney. So we shall see. I'm kind of anxiously awaiting this weekend to see some guides and Joe's trip and what will come about.
So another side churro tangent. I definitely think we will get the lightsaber churros, and just popped in my head for Pixar Fest and the new movie coming out. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a Inside Out emotional churros.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know.
The different emotions. Yeah, that would make sense. It's kind of like what they were doing with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
By Guardians.
Yeah, and they can even do them as orbs too, like little memory things. But I guess it's my turn. I was actually going to go with a beer before we decided to do a combine with the fresh hops, but I was able to find something else. So I'll save the beer for later when we talk about that. But I'm going up with another sweet something, but another drink. I'm going with a PB&J whiskey shake.
Hey,
this is the peanut butter whiskey, raspberry liqueur, vanilla ice cream with Joffrey's coffee and Mexican origin coffee, little collab there. Of course, some more peanut butter and raspberry syrups garnished with a raspberry. This sounds like fun. There's not much more I can say to this other than sounds dangerous, but also, like I said, sounds fun.
That sounds really good. There was a peanut butter whiskey cream cocktail that they had at the Cozy Cone for a while that I had yet to try. I saw a couple of reviews that said it was good, but just ridiculously sweet. But I mean, yeah, this is going to be great. I hope the size is, you know, because I've seen from that Gothic Rosie infographic, while I don't know these prices are for sure, and they're just potentially spitballing based off of last year's prices. But if the price for what the alcoholic beverages are around $17, if the cup size is not meeting me halfway, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm still going to try it. This sounds delicious. But in my experience in the past, the food and wine cocktails are smaller than you would get if you got a cocktail anywhere else.
Yeah, that is true.
At the Festival of the Holidays, the hot apple cider whiskey, and it was in like a tiny little cup. And I was like, what are we doing here?
It was like a shot mug, and it was like 13 bucks, but it was good. But yeah, so I'm afraid that might be about that size, but we'll see. But that does look pretty, pretty tasty.
We'll try it. I'm about it. Even to the shrimp, potentially going to try everything on this list. But now you guys have left me with a decision because you did not pick either of the two things I have left on my list. I picked 10 things and I got all except for two crossed off, both of which I believe are returning. So I'm going to go with, as I don't know that we said anything from this booth yet, the Delish booth. This is the returning favorite, the Carbonara Garlic Mac and Cheese with Newski's Peppered Bacon. And I still remember when they first introduced this, I had to go and look up, and as I go to my phone now, because I didn't actually pull it up before this, what Newski's Bacon is. I believe it's just a brand. Let's pull it up here.
It sounds like it.
I also have that one on my list. That's a
Newski
good
Bacon. Newski Meats. Yeah, it just sounds like a brand. Looks like a good brand. Doesn't look cheap. Although I'm sure the portioning on it at Disney will be cheap if it is expensive. But yeah, that Carbonara Mac and Cheese sounds like it'll go good on the side of most of any of these things. Or again, something I'll just get two portions of to enjoy it twice as much. But yeah, Delish, the Carbonara Garlic Mac and Cheese with Newski's Peppered Bacon, one of the many mac and cheese items, by many, I mean two. We got the pork mac and cheese, the garlic mac and cheese, and then the other one was the Carnitas Pork Belly with the corn mac salad.
Nice. That does sound delicious.
Were you going to do that Trader Sam's thing?
No.
Are you there?
So I was just doing a little shout out. There's, like Alex has mentioned, there's stuff going on all over, like downtown Disney. We got menus at Black Tap and Jazz Kitchen and Ballast Point. But also, they do this every once in a while at Disneyland Hotel at Trader Sam's. They do a mixology class. And it's basically like a 90-minute class on how to make some of the classic tiki drinks at the bar. And so you get your hands on, it says, after enjoying your handcrafted cocktail, indulge in a tray pass hors d'oeuvres while enjoying the sounds of island outdoors and fireplace. So it's kind of like a little, you learn how to drink or make the drinks, but then you can also hang out and try some of the foods. But you also get to take home a fan favorite tiki mug. I believe these are about like $130 experience to do, but nice little option that they have going on.
Yeah, Addy and I were actually looking at that. If you scroll up just a bit so I can read the other one above it. As one of my favorite things from Food and Wine, back in the early days, they had a lot of really cool things. They did free beer, wine seminars within the park. I remember sitting through a beer seminar from Carl Strauss Brewing, who at one time was the exclusive beer provider at California Adventure. They are also doing at the Hearthstone Lounge. This is available one and only day on April 19th. A walk on the Silverado Trail at Disney's California Adventure, Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa Food and Wine Experience. It will be hosted amongst the notable collection of historical California art at the venerable Hearthstone Lounge. Sip a curated selection of the Silverado Trail's exquisite wines, delightfully paired with plates specially crafted by the talented hotel culinary team. Meet the chefs and sommeliers of Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa, as well as experts from the wine industry in an indoor-outdoor culinary experience. I'm spitballing and saying that's going to be $200. Food, wine, Grand Californian all sound super expensive, especially being that they're only offering it one day. But April 19th will be within the window of when I'll be there, as well as the April 22nd offering of the Trader Sam's. I know you were saying how they do offer this, the tiki bar thing, but this sounds like it's a little different because I think the mixology class they do normally does not include food. So I'm interested in this. I'm also super interested, while it does say a fan favorite tiki mug, if it was an exclusive tiki mug, I would be all over it. But I would want a little more info. Sadly, I don't think that's more info that we will get because it will probably sell out without that information. But those are the two sort of outside the parks food and wine inspired additional purchase experiences that are available this year.
Yeah, because I know in the past they would incorporate it with like a mug release, like the Monstro mug or one of the holiday mugs. But in the circles I'm in for the tiki, I haven't heard or seen anything yet. So it might be just one of the regular stock mugs. Like you said, which would be a deter from signing up for something like this, but.
Well, and an exclusive mug would kind of be ridiculous. Cause then we're talking about for what, like 20 to 40 people, you know, there's no way they're going to make a mug that's that exclusive.
No, it would be like, if they say, like when we went for the gargoyle mug, they had a special Halloween mix on and we would have got it the night before the release.
Yeah. So maybe there is a mug coming out that we don't know about yet. That could be
cool. Possibly. And it would still be the same mug for that's on release, but you wouldn't have to worry about getting in line and stuff. You would just get it after or during the event, which that's what they've done in the past. So
I could be down with that. We'll have to look and see what the ticket prices look for that. Do you want to pull up that beer list so we can run through that too?
Yeah. And real quick, one thing I wish they would bring back to the food and wine is they used to have special like panels. So like back in the day when The Chew is a show on ABC, they would actually film the week at California Adventure. This was before they did the refurb and everything. So they really haven't done it since all that happened. But they also had when John Lasseter was still part of the company, he had a special dinner that was inside the animation building, where they had bistro tables all inside like the lobby area and had a special presentation. Guy Fieri used to do presentations. These things would sell out like in minutes, but it'd be cool if they started doing some of these special hands-on food network kind of stuff on location at DCA. I think that'd be pretty cool, but who knows?
Oh, man, I'm looking at these prices and I'm like, I feel like they're just spitballing. No disrespect to Gothic Rosie, because I do greatly appreciate all the information that she puts out. But I don't see any rhyme or reason to the beer pricing here. So without the prices, I will go through and read the beers being offered at California Craft Brews. For those of y'all who may be Fresh Hops listeners, you're going to hear some familiar breweries from our Happiest Brews on Earth tour and just being around California, as I believe these are all California breweries, being it's the California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. Starting at the top, I fuck with Crowns because that's my thing, and it is Black History Month, so shout out to Crowns and Hops Brewing, a Black-owned brewery out of Inglewood, California. They are bringing their Inglewood Sun West Coast IPA. Unsung Brewing Company, as heard on our Happiest Brews on Earth tour, Volume 1. They will have their Intracore IPA. Russian River Brewing Company, well-known not just locally, but nationally and even worldwide for Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger. They will be there with their Blind Pig IPA, which is their single IPA. Very, very good IPA. And Stone Brewery's Ruination Double IPA. I believe those will probably be rounding out the IPA flight. Then we have Bottle Logic Brewing. another local Southern California brewery, and their watermelon lemonade seltzer. Full Circle Brewing out of Fresno, shout out another Black-owned brewery, is going to be bringing their Peachy Vibes Wheat Ale. Mission Brewing, Foggy Shores Hefeweizen, and Eagle Rock Brewery's Golden Ale. Followed by Brewery X's Baja Boy Mexican Lager.
That was on my list.
Left Coast Brewing Co. Del Mar Street Dortmunder Style Export Lager. Delahunt Brewing Co.'s Salvatore Italian Pilsner. And La Bodega Brewing Co. Pay the Piper Double IPA. They slid another IPA in there. And then we have three different beer flights. The Cal IPA beer flight, the Spring Favorites beer flight, and the West Coast beer flight. I'm assuming that's my West Coast IPAs. And then it looks like all of these beers are available as a Michelada. As well, there is a frozen mango nada. There we go. Frozen mango nada beer slush, I believe, uses that Brewery X Baja Boy Mexican Lager with a mango puree, frozen slush, tahine, sort of like a frozen, I guess, not like a Michelada, but just like a fruity frozen beer slush. So, and again, that is the same California Craft Brews booth featuring the DU's own sought-after cheeseburger bao and s'mores caramel tart. So best believe you'll be seeing from us there.
Yeah, I'm just double checking that there's not other like beers at other locations, but that's, I mean, of course there is going to be at the regular locations.
Yeah, there's a few other beers, yeah, like at Hollywood Lounge and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm interested in a lot of these, like the Peach Cobbler Cocktail, some of the other things, that PB&J Shake. There are definitely some adult beverages I will be getting into along with all this delicious food. But yeah, it's, I mean, It's called Food and Wine Festival, not Wine and Food Festival for a reason.
Yeah, but for being a, you know, the beer lovers that we are, I'm so glad that now, I mean, the beer list is so much better than it was years ago when it first came out. No disrespect to like a lot of the earlier, you know, Red Card Trolleys and Racer Fives, which we love, but I mean, just the quality of beer that's been coming out, not just in Southern California, but all over the state has been pretty fire, and I'm looking excited sharing these flights with you.
And I love telling, you know, people, I'm like, oh, you know, you can get drinks at California Adventure. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm pay $15 for a Budweiser. I'm like, yeah, if you want, or you can get the Russian River, the Crowns and Hops, the Full Circle. Yeah. You can get Brewery X, Unsung, all kinds of great California craft beer. Like, people don't be knowing, and I know there's a lot more for Food and Wine. But if you don't know already, a lot of great California craft beer is on service at California Adventure year round. One of my favorite places in the park, Sonoma Terrace, has been there serving Brother Thelonious for years. That was my go-to, as it was the highest ABV for the price. And I believe we can get the Unsung Carina Double Hazy IPA on tap there. Even what I believe they changed the name of Bayside Brews, and they have a bunch of new beers out there. There's a new Sierra Nevada IPA, all kinds of great stuff. So
yeah, I had Harlan when I was there for Lunar New Year's, so yeah. Lunar Map. So
if you're looking for craft beer, just a beer or a cocktail, you're going to break a little money off, but you're going to get something worthwhile of your spending, at least comparable to if you were at a concert, another theme park, or any baseball game, any sort of event like that. So
yeah, but
no shade direct to the menu. They've got good stuff on deck.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, and if you're a parent with a kid, you got the cup holder in your stroller. So, you know, you got it made.
That's right. I'll skip the kid and just get the stroller to hold my cup.
Exactly.
And now we're going to go through the chalky milk list for the Food and Wine Festival.
I think you might enjoy that PB&J milkshake. You might have to try that one.
I just don't like the taste of alcohol.
That's why there's peanut butter and jelly, right?
And coffee.
Taste it.
No, you can't. But no, so like Alex said, this list is gonna be fun. I'm glad this is like the first time that all of us are going to try stuff and be there at the same time. Not the same time, but kind of the same time. I mean, me and Alex will be there at the same time, but
all three of us will be there during Food and Wine. So
yeah, so we will be sure to
put us all there during the same festival or season at the park.
Yeah, so we will be sure check out our Instagram, and we will be posting our selections and everything and recommendations, what we're looking forward to. And when we're there, we'll be posting stories on what we think of them at real time.
We'll save them in a separate highlight on our Instagram page. So you'll be able to see our DU Food and Wine 2024 highlights with all of these and probably then some.
Yeah, because I need to clean up our highlights. I love the footage from Star Wars Celebration 2019, but it's a little ways ago, so I will be doing some different highlights. But yeah, definitely that. And I guess before we wrap up, it is towards the end of Black History Month, and we had some other ideas that just ran out of time, but we would love to just learn about a very special gentleman. And as we celebrate Black History Month, and we celebrate anybody that puts a nice little staple in the Disney family here. So, Alex, let us know who we're talking about a little.
Yeah, no, definitely kind of what Joe's talking about. We're kind of talking about putting together like a Mount Rushmore of, you know, contributors to the Disney universe of, you know, that are of Black history or African-American descent. And while we didn't really want to just kind of throw that together at last minute, so we'd love to obviously take your all's input into account and maybe put that together next year, or even just, you know, throw them into our Disney Universe Hall of Fame going forward. But this year, being that he was just inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, we want to highlight Lonnie Smoot. Lonnie Smoot is an inventor, and he had worked for and does still currently work for the Disney company. He was born in 1955, which I thought was symbolic, being that Disneyland opened in 1955. Born in Brooklyn, New York, and educated at Brooklyn Tech High and Columbia University. He got interested in science and kind of inventions at a very early age, but at least as far as Disney Imagineering and things were involved, he is responsible for some Haunted Mansion effects, namely Leota's floating head, when they were able to do that in the Haunted Mansion holiday, the Power City in Spaceship Earth. He's responsible for a couple different things at both Hong Kong and Tokyo Disney Sea, things on Disney Cruise Line, and most notably, the Star Cruiser lightsaber, which we had mentioned on the program in the past, being, I believe it was introduced by a friend of a friend of the podcast at Destination D23. Yeah, shout out to Lonnie Smoot. He is, as I mentioned at the very beginning, the 2024 National Inventors Hall of Fame inductee and the only other Disney employee who has received this honor is Walt Disney. So, I mean, to an extent, you could say he is the greatest Imagineer next to Walt Disney. I don't believe he's technically an Imagineer necessary as much as he is a inventor who helps make things the Imagineers think up possible. So, you know, big shout out to Lonnie Smoot and making that happen. I know I kind of mentioned a lot of other great, you know, African-American people, minds in the Disney universe. And I'm excited for things that are coming in the future, namely Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Obviously, we have a great love for Black Panther and what Chadwick Boseman, the entire cast, and of course, Ryan Coogler, Sacramento State's own, has brought to us, as well as great Disney animator Floyd Norman, just spitting off a couple that come to mind. But if you have any others that are near and dear in your heart, that we're forgetting, please let us know in the comments on Instagram. And again, please remember, we are going to bring this up much earlier in the month next year. And we will be polling you guys for your input, as the Disney universe includes everyone in the universe. And we want to make sure that you guys are all getting your input in on what we're talking about here. So, you know, happy Black History Month, as the resident Black member of the Disney Universe podcast. It's always a month I'm excited for. I know there is a specific Disney animation coming out in 2 days, Iwaju, which is a animated series or mini series that they mentioned to us, I believe, 2 years ago at D23. And yeah. I kind of, you know, just with the tease of it, them interacting with a African animation studio, I'm really excited. And from the clips that I've seen, kind of gives Clone Wars meets Black Panther sort of vibes. So I will be watching that, and you can look forward to at least some sort of rap, whether it be on Instagram or DUTV or something. But yeah, we're always excited to share and what all the different cultures bring to the Disney universe, and highlighting them, of course, now when we're all highlighting, you know, things of that culture. So shout out to Black History Month. I know we didn't get much in over the course of the month. We celebrate it every day, and blah, 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 blah. I just feel like I'm rambling at this point, but this is something I'm excited about. I'm really excited to watch this Iwaju cartoon. I'm very happy for Lonnie Smoot and his recognition for all he has brought, not just to the Disney company, but to the world, especially as a Disney fan who loves to come to the park and be wowed by the innovation that they do there. And you know, someone who always says representation matters. So it's cool to see that people from all backgrounds are a part of the company and making things happen, pushing us forward to say, wow, smile, and have a good time at the parks.
Nice. Right on, man. And I'm sorry I missed the beginning of it, but is he a Disney legend?
Yeah, I don't believe he's a Disney legend, but as we say in the WWE world, he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's for sure.
Yeah. Especially with his recent accolades, I'm sure he's got to be up for consideration this summer. Disney legend will be announced in August. So.
And all the more reason I'm excited to make my first D23 this year.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, man. I really hope they have his, that floor that he did the video on.
I want to talk about that. I think is going to be for, like, I think one day you'll be able to have that in your home with all this VR stuff. And they're going to sell like a VR annual pass to Disneyland. You pay like maybe $2,000-$3,000 for that floor, $500 a year. You get the goggles and you can walk through Disneyland. I think that's going to be in homes one day.
We're very close to Ready Player One right now, and that floor looks like part of it.
I believe what we're referencing is something called the Hollow Floor. Hollow Tile Floor. Thank you. And if you Google Lonnie Smoot and National Inventors Hall of Fame, you'll see in most of the articles I picked up a video of him walking on this Hollow Tile Floor, used with VR. I mean, the possibilities of where you can go with VR. If anything, it's just going to reduce the amount of great Instagram videos we see of people breaking things in their house while they're using VR for the first time.
Running into couches and
punching the TV. Yeah.
And I believe you could check it out even on the Disney Imagineering Instagram page. Quick pictures. But yeah, that's awesome. And I hope he gets definitely the recognition he deserves as a Disney legend, since we've had some questionable legends announced over the last couple of years. But this is definitely worth the award. If he
gets snubbed, he's going to be a Disney Universe legend come December. I put that on my word.
Spoiler alert. Well, awesome, guys. Well, that was a fun, loaded show. Looking forward to all this food we're going to be eating really soon. And a lot of the stuff coming up. But you know, everybody, let us know what you thought about, what you think about Star Wars night. If you're going to go, let us know, especially if you're there the night I'm there, which is April 18th. Come say hi. Let us know what you think about Bad Batch, what foods you want to try. Like I said, we'll post that up real soon. But as podcasts go, we always look to the future, and I am very excited for our next episode. We have our first real big guest of the year. Excuse me. We have artist Shane Grammer, a gentleman that I was introduced to by my brother-in-law, Ken. He's an awesome artist. I met him for the first time at D23 back in 2015, and he's just hot off his first time at being one of the featured artists at Epcot's Festival of the Arts. So happy to have him on next week. And he did that Vader print he did for Festival was so awesome. So check him out. His art is at Wonderground. It is at the Disney Gallery on Main Street. So, but I'm excited to talk to him on our next show.
Yeah,
but before we go, we got to once again shout out our very good friends and crew. Alex, that is up to you. Yes, I did a rhyme.
Always, always. And this list that I'm looking forward to getting into just as much as all 15 of these items from the Disney Universe must tries. I'm salivating at the names. We got Tyler, Sasquatch, Wedge Antilles, John Z, Sean, Big Papa Disney, Alfredo, and our duo of Jen, Superfan and Florida Jen. We love y'all. Y'all are part of the DU crew. And if any of you want to be part of the DU crew too, just go show up at patreon.com/DU crew. Join one of those two tiers and join us on this journey we call Disney Adulting.
Absolutely. And so thank you guys once again. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. And don't forget to subscribe if you don't, to where, Ryan?
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Disney Universe Podcast. Interact with us on X at DisUniPod and watch some of our videos over on YouTube at DUTV. If you'd like to listen to some of our older episodes, you can head over to Walt's Apartment Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and we will be there.
Awesome. So thank you guys for listening. Had a fun show and can't wait to do some more. It's going to be a fun year. Got some fun topics and some stuff going on. So, but I guess until next time,
may the force be with you.
Till infinity and beyond.
Let's eat.